Welcome to Fireside, your source for discussions on not only the latest and greatest from PsyCor, but also helpful tips and tricks. I'm your host and PsyCor MVP, Josh Hover.
Today we're going to talk a little bit more about SugCon updates and a little bit more from Martin Miles on his presentation that he gave at SugCon, which was around accelerating websites built on XM Cloud for headless SXA. I'd like to introduce our guest, Martin Miles, director here at Proficient and seven-time PsyCor MVP. Welcome to today's show, Martin.
Thank you, Josh. It's a pleasure being here again.
Let's talk a little bit more about SugCon and what was your experience? So location this year was absolutely amazing. I didn't get to go, but I saw lots of pictures and it looks so beautiful.
So my first experience with SugCon started in 2016 when it was in Copenhagen. That was my first exposure to the community. And I was so much impressed that I honestly decided to become PsyCor MVP only with one and only purpose, so that it gives me a bigger chance to be a speaker at this kind of event. And it appeared to be much easier to become a PsyCor MVP rather than to get a right of speech at SugCon, which only happened with me last year. And historically, I valued this event, European SugCon, as the biggest and my most favorite event of all the PsyCor events possible that come with our community. So, of course, I was very much thrilled this year to come to Spain, and especially because I had the very important topic to present. Generally, it took me a lot for preparation and even more time for me to go through the system and understand it, its internals. So I was really happy to be there and share all my knowledge with all the people who attended my speech.
I love hearing the backstory behind that, how attending the SugCon for your first time really helped drove you to wanting to become an MVP so that you could then propel yourself to get into that speaking session. You know, I know that there's many within the community that value those speaking sessions, especially at the SugCon. And to be awarded the opportunity there, especially after hearing your backstory, I'm sure that was a huge accomplishment for you.
I want to tell you a bit of secret and share the secret with a wider audience so that it's not actually a secret any longer. But I'm very much inspired with European SugCon, and I joined a group of enthusiasts here in North America who are going to do the same event for our region. And that's likely to happen fall of this year. But of course, nothing is sure at this time. So we need to do a lot of work between ourselves to coordinate with PsyCor and lots of organizational moments, probably 120 or 140 moments we just need of minus we just need to sort out. So I only can say, please, fingers crossed for us to make it happen and stay tuned.
My fingers are definitely crossed. I'm sure that there are a lot who weren't able to attend the European SugCon, but would be so excited and thrilled to be able to have the opportunity to join one here in the States. So really exciting to see that come together, and I'll be happy to be able to hopefully attend that too.
Oh, yes, please do.
What do you feel like the overall feeling was this year at the SugCon?
You know, it's always a mixture of knowledge and emotion. And both are really coming beyond the edges. So my personal impression was I literally tried to tear myself into pieces to share each piece with any other attendees, because the time was so limited, but there are so many people I want to talk to and I want to share experience and learn from them. Speaking about the overall feedback, this year we did not get any new products from PsyCor, but we get a lot of maturity from existing products. So everything was mentioned over the past year, including European SugCon, including Symposium, and even things from MVP Summit. So all these products, they are coming into place. And one of the greatest things I have at SugCon is that people from the product team from PsyCor, they are coming to present their product and they are exposed to the community. You can approach each of this person. You can ask any question. You can ask really difficult questions and you will get the answers. That's really awesome.
I think that's been a huge shift that we've seen within the Sitecore community is that, you know, we have access to the people who are helping drive the products that are within Sitecore. It's not just this closed box that you have to figure out and not have answers. You know, you're able to have access to the people who are helping engineer it, help deliver it, help market it. And I think that that goes a long way to helping our knowledge in the community on how do we build it, how do we sell it, and ultimately, how do we deliver the best experience for the end user and the clients.
And not to dismal other products and other teams, because I mostly focused on ExamCloud, but I want to say really big thank you to the team standing behind ExamCloud, Andy Cohen, Justin Wacht, Rich Sale, lots of other people, Bart, like everyone who is participating in the channel which we have in Slack, then on Sitecore channels. And actually, I'm running a Sitecore Telegram dedicated to every single product, including ExamCloud. And they also collaborate with me on presenting the content for ExamCloud channel there as well. So I very admire the level of presence and the level of visibility for ExamCloud team, for the community. And I can only thank them on behalf of all of us.
Yeah, huge shout out and thanks to each of those contributors who helped build the messaging that went into not only your presentation, but others as well.
Absolutely.
So Martin, you had made mention to me prior to today's podcast that you had a little bit of a crazy trip coming home from SUGCON. Anything there that you want to elaborate on? Because I know that it also led to a blog post.
I just only want to say that sometimes things you think are under control may not be that way. And I nearly stuck in the United Kingdom where I did a transit through, which is my home country, by the way, just because I didn't have an updated barcode for the COVID certificate. So of course we do have vaccination, it's clearly seen, but just because one label do not match, they literally denied me from boarding the plane and wanted to stuck me in the country. So it all got sorted by a big chance of like a big coincidence of things, of lucky things, that I managed to remember that the actual SIM card I had previously in the United Kingdom is here at home here in States. I had to wake up my partner who just stuck this SIM card into some spare mobile phone, plug it, charge it up, so that basically she could do a two-factor authentication code for me. Because without this two-factor authentication code, I couldn't generate the updated barcodes for my COVID certificate. So you see how minor problem can escalate into bigger trouble.
I think you're one, extremely lucky that you had that SIM card available so you could do that, but two, maybe it was the UK's version of trying to figure out how they could keep Martin Miles, and the COVID card was their best chance.
Maybe.
So let's talk a little bit more and dive in deeper into your speaking session. So you were talking a little bit more about accelerating websites using ExamCloud, but also headless SXA, which was something that was more introduced at the more recent symposium. And I hear that you also packed the house. You had everyone seated, but also standing space filled as well.
There was no such thing as preparation as a single solid process. To start with, I did my own learning into ExamCloud as early as the product became available early 2022. And I did collaborate a lot with the product team and with the other enthusiasts. So my work was picking out every minor piece of information I ever hear about ExamCloud, making a note out of it, and accumulate it all together. Then from time to time, I do review my notes. So I go through all of them and combine them into a bigger picture. So I see how it's all structured and I see how things are play well together and why do they play together. So I get my own outcomes about that. So at the end of the year, I had quite a decent set of knowledge about the platform. And probably you remember I made a set of blog posts about XMCloud by the end of the year. There were three posts. So after that, I did even more spend on investigating the things, and there were new things released with SXA as well. So it all ended up my proposal for speech for SUKCON. Luckily, it was chosen. I can only say thank you to organizers for trusting me, sharing this piece of knowledge, which I did pretty well. And that's how real preparation started up.
That sounds
the actual
awesome.
Slides took me slightly above the 2 weeks to prepare. But, you know, I, like all of us, I had day-to-day work. And I was standing in charge of 3 to 4 deliveries, depending on the time, plus MVP initiative, plus other bits. So quite a busy person, but I have to find the time to make this presentation ready. And I literally lack the time for it, doing it on a plane, doing it in a hotel. And similar to like it happened last year, I made most of the changes I made less than 24 hours prior to the actual speech.
I find that I do the same thing too, is whenever I'm prepping, you know, I get my framework built out, but I feel like that secret sauce really comes to me, you know, within the last 24 hours where all the major tweaks are going to come in and say, all right, I think we're in a done state to present.
At the end of the day, we all do that for our listeners and visitors to know more from our experience. And this is something I would like to share more about.
Yeah, I think that's a great way of doing it. It sounds like your prep even went through, you know, almost an entire year as you were writing notes diligently about the product as things were evolving and changing and being released.
You know, it's a very interesting product. And if you are a major Sitecore developer, meaning Sitecore, saying Sitecore, I mean Sitecore platform, XMXP, you still have to learn something new, because the way XMCloud is tailored is still different to what we had before. And my whole presentation was focused about all these differences and how should we deal with them and how should we approach all these challenges and what skills do we have from our past life that are applicable and what should we learn. So basically that was like a big kickoff introduction, but very much detailed introduction into the new world of doing things with Sitecore.
I think now that we've seen such a huge shift from Sitecore, from your standard XP implementation to XMCloud, and everyone's shifting not only how do I sell this and market it, but you know, the other question definitely comes into play of, all right, how do we actually do the implementation? Because there's a lot of, you know, there's new skills that people are going to have to learn. I think it sounds like you really helped answer some of those.
Well, implementation is just one part of things. Most of the clients are interested about migration of their legacy things, which I also covered. So there were three scenarios, which three potential scenarios. If you have a headless website, what you do and how do you migrate, that had the actual list of recipes, what you need to change and how you need to approach your solution to make it compatible with XMCloud. And the other two are for legacy MVC implementations. And depending on actual state of your MVC solution, how many sites, how much customized is that, how many logic you have, you could go either of ways, which I proposed.
What do you feel like would be the biggest takeaways when you look at XMCloud and SXA Headless? Do you feel like there are any key features that you'd hone in on that you think are a huge benefit?
We need to start with architectural changes. First of all, the biggest is that we don't have content delivery in the old good way of doing things. So there's no web database. There's no CD boxes. That's actually a trick. There is web database, and it's not documented, but I use web database as a stash database because we, at this stage, don't have the tools for restoring and making backups for the databases. What I do is I'm using a built-in control panel tool to copy things from master to web database, which stays totally in isolation, and I use it as a stash. I know that at later stage, development team will just remove this UI so that you won't have this rudimental database any longer, but hopefully by that time they will release the tools for doing things properly. But anyway, we shouldn't consider web database as the thing, so we don't have content delivery so far. Instead, we have Experience Edge, which is a GraphQL endpoint, which is published into geographically distributed CDN. And that's where all the content gets published so that your head application can consume it. Because of that change, we get many other changes derived. For example, we don't have all these content delivery related features such as MVC renderings, we don't have forms, we don't have non-headless SXA, we don't even have custom search indexes. Obviously, we don't have publishing service. So everything that took place at the content delivery, it's not longer available. And as a derivative from that, we also don't have any XDB related features like XDB itself, XConnect, everything behind it. We don't have EXM, FXM, Path Analyzer. We don't have Tracker. We don't have Experience Profile, List Manager. Obviously, we don't have marketing automation, reporting, processing, all that type of tools. And these are quite big revolutionary changes. Most of the logic which you used to do at your content delivery, including personalization, it now is coming to the responsibility of your head application. So right. We do have Edge middleware, we do have serverless functions, we do have lots of other things, many of them provided by Vercel, which is recommended hoster for XM Cloud. It's not the only one option, but it's probably the best by the easiness and features it gives you out of the box, and it has free tier. So it's a different way of thinking. That's what XM Cloud is.
Yeah, I would assume like even with the Vercel aspect, since it is the partner choice for Sitecore, there'll be better documentation, potentially more documentation on that than other vendors. I'm sure that there's other reasons why you might choose it as well. We can dive into that at a later time. I think we covered off on a lot of the positives, but are there any drawbacks that you've seen? It sounded like you had called out things like search considerations, because you're going to really need to put thought into what you'll use for search. Maybe that's part of the composable aspect of this, is being able to plug in a search provider that you'd prefer to use.
If we don't have content delivery where search results being applied to your page, the search has to be revised in different mm-hmm. way. Sitecore comes with their own composable version, which is named Sitecore Search, and it's very much promising, still under development, but more and more features to come. I cannot share our non-disclosure information that we get by Sitecore MVP channel. Actually, this is a very good motivation for all of us to join MVP as a group, because you will be exposed to much more internal information, which you unfortunately cannot share. But anyway,
I actually did a recent podcast with the product team over at Sitecore on search, and they were talking about some of the new features that were coming out, and definitely some really nice, robust features that they're building in. And it's nice to hear that they're consistently evolving it and not just staying stagnant. It's an agile delivery.
Yes. And speaking about search, you can do sometimes crazy things. With Sitecore 10.3, we get something called Embeddable Forms Framework, which works in some ways similar to as FXM worked. So you have even non-Sitecore, any website, you inject JavaScript into that site, and then you go into your 10.3 platform, let's say 6P, you create a form, and you will be able to consume that form from a non-Sitecore website. Say non-Sitecore, I mean non-XP or non-XM site, but that includes XM Cloud. Okay. So far, so good. But what you can do as well, You have lots of new features with XMCloud. You have GraphQL and authoring framework. You have webhooks, and you can leverage these things for different purposes. Okay, so if you have a form which is injected on external side, you can create custom action. And let's think further ahead. If this custom action is pulling authoring GraphQL API, what it can do, it can create items. And it can create items in your XMCloud. So basically, upon the form submission, you can create an item in your XMCloud CM. Of course, it's not the good way of doing things like creating custom input in your CM database. I don't recommend doing that, but this is just an example how you can do things working together. And you can utilize webhooks for handling different events between your composable parts, because these systems are totally detached from each other. They could be even written with different technologies and languages. If you previously worked with Sitecore, you used to have, remember Sitecore events, where you do event handler, write it with C#, do it quite complicated coding around it so that you can deploy it later and it will handle your event. So in composable way of doing things, we don't write C# code. What we do instead, we have webhooks, and most of composable systems, they do have webhooks. XMCloud has, and even Experience Edge, they also have its own webhook. And these are triggered as soon as the event happens. For example, you can trigger publishing end, so that when publishing to Edge is complete, you can do further things. It works asynchronously, and it's quite reliable way of doing things. It carries out lots of interesting payload inside of it. So I did a nice demo, which I cover in my Sukkon video, showing how you can use authoring and management GraphQL API to generate the token, using this token, upload the media, some image to media library. And once the image is uploaded, a webhook triggers to notify external system saying like, the media is there, and here's details of this media, do something with it. These are just two examples of a totally new API, which we didn't have previously with XP and XM platforms, but there are much more of them, and even more interfaces coming, not to say applications like sites, pages, components, which are standalone application on their own, and they bring a new revolutionary approach to the editing. So more to come, just stay and follow up.
Yeah, that's a lot of really great features that they're building in and helping extend. And it's been really neat to see the evolution just in a short amount of time.
It's very impressive.
Let's talk a little bit more about the headless SXA portion. SXA was introduced a number of years ago, and it was originally introduced as an accelerator framework to really help simplify and accelerate building of new sites. And I think that we've seen quite a few iterations since then, but really the iteration that we're going to focus on is really around the headless portion of it. So are there any features maybe that you want to talk about from an SXA headless perspective that you feel like have changed and are noteworthy?
I want to say that SXA product team, they made a really big way to where they are now from initial SXA version, which I used to have 6 to 7 years ago. So now we ended up having headless SXA, which is in fact a subset of SXA you get for the full platform. And obviously you don't have MVC renderings, and you don't have search related features, which were very impressive and powerful things to configure search for SXA out of the box previously. Things like snippet, theming, crazy exchange, they all have gone. But on the other side, you still have page and partial layouts, which allow you to separate page structure from the actual content so that you get and deliver better editing experience to your editors. You do have rendering variants, which in my opinion is one of the most powerful features of the whole SXA.
Yeah.
It's only Yeah, the way it works now is different. So previously you had to encode your variant actual HTML code with the tokens into variant item. It was n velocity, and later it switched with more user-friendly Scribble syntax, but it was still something that operate and function at the content delivery. So now we do not have content delivery. What we do instead is we have a Next.js framework, and headless SXA comes with Next.js as a first-class citizen. So the renderings and variants are coming in the form of Next.js, actually JSX components with TypeScript, with all the bits. So like very famous promo component from any starter kit is a very good point for you to take a look and learn what is rendering variant in the headless SXA. You will see two public exports for default and with text, which are actual rendering variants. So they are referenced by name. And it works. Actually, it's even good change because it allows your front-end developers to be in control of your rendering variants so that they don't need to log into Sitecore and cut out the code from their front-end, embedding it into Sitecore items, which have totally different life cycle through serialization and through other means of management. So they keep all the things together, and I do like it. We do have something called page branches now, so you can scaffold the whole page. And even more, we have site templates, and we have site cloning with new headless SXA. Also, the very big work was done about SEO-related things, like sitemap robots, redirects, error pages. And it's quite impressive because if you ever try to implement these things yourself, remember that we have to operate against experience edge. We don't have content delivery any longer. So if you have just raw edge, which is a flat set of published pages, including page variants from personalization, how would you, in that case, build your sitemap? It's quite a non-trivial task.
Yeah. Very true.
what they do instead, they build a framework and they give you a lot of customization, how you can set up sitemap. And actually a tip is that sitemap is coming in the form of media item these days. It's very interesting. It's very unusual, but it was fun to learn that.
I think some of the core Another features that they're releasing with XM Cloud, not only the sitemaps, but robots and redirects being included in things like error pages. You know, I think those are all basics that everyone has to build into a site before they do an implementation or before they release an implementation. So I think it's really great to have those considerations already there.
That's true, but it's only part of truth because you have multiple websites on your site, for instance. So you have to configure error pages and sitemaps per site.
Right.
And you sometimes should be aware of how you want to isolate them. Or sometimes you want to share them. And SXA has always been multi-site in first place. So they do have excellent cross-site sharing features. Absolutely excellent. And what is more important is that they do now allow you to mix SXA with non-SXA in different manners. For example, you can host SXA and non-SXA website together within a single Sitecore instance. Previously, that was also possible, but you had to do lots of manual plumbing around media handlers and similar things. But of course, Tim came up for you to have it out of the box. For example, you can put a non-SXA site to an SXA site collection. Site collection is a new name for tenant. For those who don't know, you can have pages built with SXA, and these pages can contain non-SXA component. That's also possible now. But obviously, these components will not benefit from any SXA features like styles or grids or whatsoever. It will be just a component fit into a page. Of course, you cannot do the other way around, because 6A components are very specific bits and they would work only with SXA.
It's really nice to see the features evolve, and I think that they've come a long way. I know they used to be a little bit heavier in the past, and hopefully with this release, things become a little bit lighter. Let's shift gears a bit and let's talk through, what does an XM Cloud implementation look like now that we're, moving in the direction of XM Cloud? What are some of the considerations that we need to think about?
You cannot do non-headless implementations with XM Cloud. Next.js is coming as first-class citizen. By saying that, I mean that Sitecore released a very decent and good SDK. And if you want to do with personalization, it will be already out of the box for you. And many other things will be supported. It doesn't mean that you have to stuck with Next.js. You can do any other options, like you can go with, Angular. Or, for example, last month I blocked a use case how I managed to pair XM Cloud with .NET core renderings, and all together in the same Docker container, so they play nice together. It's also an option. But one of the architectural differences of headless is called rendering host. And rendering host means that your head application lives separately from Sitecore. So previously it was like all the things, it was just single monolithic content delivery box that created your HTML page and that was responsible for doing lots of bunch of logic. But now things have separated. So your client application is hosted separately on the rendering host, and Sitecore is exclusively doing content management and publish the content to Edge. So having that in mind, you now have actually two terms. You have rendering host and you have editing host. Which one is used for example, experience editor when you want to edit the content? And funny enough that XM Cloud comes with a built-in editing host for you to work, but it only works with GSS-related applications. So that one would not work with .NET Core renderings. That's why you haven't implemented separately, but there's no problem doing that, because having things separately, you control things separately, you can scale them separately, as soon as they talk nicely to each other. And these are only three parameters you have to specify, like GraphQL, API key, and your token endpoints. So not a rocket science to do at all. As soon as you have these parameters set up and they can communicate, it all nicely works.
I think everything that you're calling out here is that you're offered a lot more flexibility with this approach. You called out multiple different front-end solutions that you could pursue. And I think that not only extends the flexibility, but also helps with the limitation of experts that you could pull in, because you could go with a technology that your team might have been more or most comfortable with.
That's for sure. Previously, we had a very limited pool of tech talents, generically called as Sitecore developers. I claim myself as a Sitecore developer. Anyone else who is a .NET professional with specialization with Sitecore also position themselves as a Sitecore developer. It's like a .NET developer with specific skills of that niche product. And that was a decreasing niche pool of talents, which was quite a big bottleneck for the companies who want to go ahead big implementations. And it was a big problem for the hiring process. So now we don't need that much amount of backend developers. While we do a clear separation of the roles, we have, next developers combined with front-end developers. And we do have still Sitecore developers who stand in charge of your CM instance, because you have to do lots of customization to your CM instance according to your requirements. In a similar way, like we used to do that before, but not that much, of course. Someone still needs to be in charge of your CM instance and with your bespoke solutions for that. For example, for your editors, and we have like other bits, we have sites, we have pages, we have components. We have a fully new deploy tool, which is a very exciting thing, how you can do your deployments. You don't need to combine very clumsy CI/CD pipelines like you did before. And if your source code is built on, sorry, if your source code is stored on GitHub, you simply plug your repository to a project, and you plug a branch of this repository to a specific environment, and that's it. By clicking a button, it automatically does deployment for you. It's impressive. Of course, you can support other providers. Azure DevOps is coming shortly for deploy up as well, but you can still have a variety of choice. The only thing that you need to use Sitecore CLI for doing your deployments, and Sitecore CLI is much more impressive tool than it was before, mostly used for serialization. Now it is in charge of everything. I want to show you interesting use case. So Sitecore CLI is the only tool you need required today for manage your XM Cloud instance. And imagine that what you can do, you can make something called CLI by demand. Sitecore CLI is written with .NET Core itself, which means it's cross-platform, which means you can run it on Linux, which further means that you can run it on Linux containers, which means you can use something like lightweight Azure functions that run on demand, execute the functions, and disappear. So you will have CLI on demand just to manage your Sitecore XM Cloud instance. A different of these combinations you can do, it's only a fantasy. Development team, they have done real impressive work for you to have that flexibility.
I think that just further solidifies what we were talking about earlier around having so much more flexibility with XM Cloud. And even circling back to what we were talking about with the talent pool, you know, it helps focus the Sitecore developers in on what they actually need to be doing, which is around the core of the framework. And you're able to really free up your resourcing so that, you know, they're focused in on the areas that are most relevant.
Well, not everything is that much flexible. Let's take, for instance, old good media library. We still do have media library with XM Cloud. The trick is that since we now publish everything to Experience Edge, there are limits. And we have 50 megabytes per item limit for media library Edge restriction. And 70 megabytes for Content Hub 1.
That's exactly what I was about to ask is what do those limitations change to if you were to connect something like Content Hub?
Yeah, that's 70 megabytes for Content Hub 1 and 50 for XM Cloud. And I think it's done by purpose. We will see more demand in Sitecore Content Hub DAM, potentially in the nearest future, because 50 megabytes is not a big volume. Of course, if you distribute some documents in a PDF format, if you do small images, that's pretty enough. But as soon as you get outside these boundaries, you need to employ more powerful tools.
I think that that's just helping empower and push users towards that composable stack.
Which is not bad.
No, not at all.
Once again, coming back to the event, I want to say great thanks to organizers. You guys made an impressive work to bring things together. And in my honest opinion, everything went pretty well. So it was my honor to be part of it. And hopefully I made my own commitment into sharing the knowledge.
I'm sure that they appreciated your speaking session as well. I think, you know, it takes the community to come together to bring an event like that to life. And, you know, the organizers, from what I saw, did such a tremendous job. And I saw so much really good social activity from posts from everyone. And for me, not being able to be there, it was really fun to see. And I personally appreciated that aspect as well.
And last thing is my personal thing, but just in case, if you are lucky user of a Telegram Messenger, I would like to promote and ask you to join to Sidecore Telegram channel. I want to say this is very useful and handy channel because you get only the most important information. You get it directly into your pocket. It's unobtrusive, but you don't miss the important bits. And actually, we have a channel per each composable product. There is a channel for Content Hub. There is a channel for CDP Personalize, for Order Cloud, and of course, XM Cloud.
Please take a look at Martin Miles' Telegram channel, and a lot of really great useful information there. That wraps up today's session on Sitecore SugCon. Special thanks to Martin for joining me on today's show.
Always a pleasure.
I'm your host, Josh Hover. Thank you for joining today's podcast. Stay tuned for our future sessions.